Good morning. Well, it's a great day and glad to be here with you this morning, and we'll introduce the Von Trapp family singers. Well, we love to sing, and let me advance here. We'll go to, I guess, the first slide if this is working. Is it there? Can we go back? Go back one here. I'm playing with buttons. Was that the first one? Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought I had that one later in the thing, but all right, one more here. There we go. Okay, we're going to start there. We'll introduce the crew here as we go. So my name is Dan, and I'll tell you a little bit about my story, but let me introduce the rest of the family that you saw up here, my wife and Irena and I. Have been married for 15 years, and you see our six lovely daughters. And you know, people ask us, what are the odds of having six daughters, right? And you're probably wondering that. It's not 50-50. I'll tell you that right from the beginning. But we are blessed to have six, and Eva's the oldest. She's 13. And so we have Eva, Annika, Audra, Ivy, Eden, and Isabella. Now, I was impressed. I came in, and Rex, he had them like that. He had all the names. And I don't know if he just, you know, some people are good test takers. They get the test out of the way and they don't remember anything afterwards. So we'll have to try again later and see if he still remembers. But we're here today. We want to get to know you. We want to get you to get to know us. And so feel free to talk to the girls. They love to interact and answer questions about Nicaragua. They don't know a lot about Ecuador at this point. As it was said, we're in that transition moving ahead, and we're going to explain a little bit about that. But they would love to be able to talk with you. And they are part of our team. You know, people talk about going out as a ministry team. This is our team. And we, of course, have others that we work with, have worked with in the past, and will work with in the future. But this is where it starts, our family. We believe that God gave us our family. He instituted the family, and we go out to serve together. And they are an integral part of that. And so we would love for you to get to know them as we move forward as well. So let me explain a little bit about where we're coming from, and I always like to put up a map of Nicaragua on there, because maybe you're sitting there thinking, where in the world is Nicaragua? And we often get the question about how is Africa, where is that in Africa? And it's not in Africa, it's in Central America, and it's the largest country in Central America, about the size of New York State, a population of 6 million people, and we've served there for the last 4 years, 1 year in language school, 4 years in Nicaragua, and the Lord has blessed us to see a church get started, as well as working with many national pastors, church planters, to plant other churches. But I wanted to show you at least where Nicaragua was, or is, it hasn't moved, and tell you a little bit about the story of what has happened over the last several years there. Let me tell you a little bit about my story so you can, and I'll lead into this. I grew up here in New York State, south of Rochester, in Henrietta. My dad was a pastor at a little Baptist church called East Baptist Church on Pinnacle Road, and that's where I grew up. And then after high school, we moved toward the end of high school, and then after high school, I bounced around going to some different schools and out of state and met my wife, and we got married, lived in Ohio, and moved back to New York State and finished college here. And then the Lord led us to be a pastor south of Buffalo in a little town just outside a little village called Forestville, New York, where I was a pastor there for about 4 years, and a little tiny church of about 30 people. It was a dying church, to be quite honest. An older congregation, the average age was 70 years old. We were the youngest. We had the only kids. We had two kids, one on the way, and we were the youngest by far of anyone. We were the grandkids of all of them. And so this was the Lord. We didn't realize it at the time, but the Lord was preparing us for church planting ministry. And so this was kind of a revitalizing work, and the Lord allowed us to serve there, and we saw people come to know Christ. The church grew, and it's probably now about between 70 and 80 people on a Sunday morning, and we're thankful for what the Lord was doing there and continues to do there. But as we were coming toward that fourth year, or into that fourth year, we believe that God was still putting the call for missions, foreign missions, on our heart. And so we began praying about that and seeking that, talking with different ones about it. And so in January 2009, we approached our home church. It's called Gates Chapel. And I just said to them, the Lord is leading us to the foreign mission field. And we didn't know what that would mean for them, what they would want to do. As my dad being a pastor, we'd seen how churches handle these things sometimes. And so we were just putting ourselves in their hands, saying, hey, the Lord's leading us to the mission field. We don't know where we're going, or when that's going to happen, how it's going to happen. We didn't have any answers, just that the Lord was leading us that way. And a lot of the people were new believers, people that we had led to the Lord and discipled over the last couple of years there. And so the leadership in the church, when I said the Lord is leading us to the foreign mission field, the leadership turned and said, one guy said to me that he just told his wife that morning, wouldn't surprise him if the Lord led us to the mission field that year. And so long story short, the church got behind us and said, we want to be a part of what you're doing. We'll figure this out together. We'll learn as we go. And so they have supported missionaries, but they had not sent a missionary from their church ever. And so we were the first to go out from Gage Chapel. And so it was a learning experience for us and our home church. And you know, one of the things that when you leave a church is wondering what happens afterwards. And so we weren't leaving the church. We were leaving our role as pastor. But they became our sending church, our home church, and they were without a pastor just for about 5 months when God brought another pastor in. His name is Mike Pollack, and he's been there ever since for about the last 7 years now, I guess. And so that's a little bit of our story of leading us to a mission called ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and they were working in Nicaragua, and they said, there's a need here. We need people to plant churches, work with church planters, and so we responded to that. It was a newer field. And so we were excited, kind of that missionaries sort of have this pioneering spirit. That's where our heart is. And so we responded to that, and the Lord led us to raise the funds to go, to head off to Costa Rica for a year of language training, and then into Nicaragua in 2013. And we wanted to go not just to work with national church planters, but to be a part of a church plant ourselves, to live in a community where we could see a church planted. The Lord led us to a community called Vistas del Momotombo, where it was a subdivision that they were building. It was Nicaragua taking or seeing a community of very wealthy and the very poor, and seeing a middle class grow out of that over the last number of years. And as a result of that, they're building these subdivisions for this growing middle class. And so there was a community being built right next to the ministry center that our mission had, or still has there. And they were building a community center right there next to it. And so we were talking with some other missionaries and said, we're sending out church planters all over Nicaragua, and yet the community right next to the ministry center has no church. A community of about 1,500 homes and no church in there, no gospel presence whatsoever. And so we began praying about that, and the Lord opened all those doors for us to move into there with this other missionary couple or family. And one of our first prayers from the beginning was that God would lead a national pastor to join our two families to lead the work, for him to be the pastor, for him to lead the work, and we would be a support to that. There's a little idea that goes behind that. In the past, missionaries have gone in and still, even today, do this way, where they go in, plant a church, and maybe it takes 10 years, 5, 10 years to really see a church planted. And then the missionary has to transition out and hope that everything can go on as they call another pastor, or another pastor is raised up, or however it happens. But then there's this huge blip, a lot of changes with what they're used to with that missionary pulling out. And so our prayer was that from the beginning there would be the pastor, national pastor, that when it came time for us to transition out, there would just be the smallest of blips or maybe nothing. And so we're right in that time right now to see how this is going. And so far it's been several months now since we have physically transitioned out. And the Lord is continuing to bless. The church is continuing to move forward. But I want to tell you the story of how we got there. So a few years ago now, we moved into the community. We had a 5-year game plan, and at the end of 5 years was that there would be an established church, right? And then each year we had goals for each year. The first year was just build relationships, move into the community, build relationships, kind of let people know who we are, get to know our neighbors and so forth. And then toward the end of the first year, we had a community picnic over on the other side of the fence, where I mentioned we had the ministry center. And so we invited the entire community, put up banners, passed out flyers, talked with people. We had food vendors come over to be able to sell their food if people wanted to buy lunch or a Coke or whatever. And, you know, we just had all kinds of activities going on. And it gave us a few different goals. One, of course, to share the gospel with them. Second, to let them know that we wanted to start Bible studies. And so if they wanted to come that next Friday night, come to our home, to begin Bible study, that our home was going to be open, and we would invite them to Bible study. And then third, whatever spiritual need or whatever we could do for them, that we were there to minister to them. And so we thought maybe there'd be 100 people. Our goal is that begin Bible study with 4, 6, 8 people by the end of the year, have 15 that we could start a church with, have a core group to start a church. But we didn't know how many people would come to the picnic. We thought maybe 100, 200 people. And so we were trying to think a little bit big, in our, you know, according to our estimations. And that picnic day came. And when we gathered everyone together to give announcements and share the gospel and tell about Bible study, there was over 600 people there. And so we did. We shared the gospel, passed out information about the Bible study. And then that Friday night, we had our home ready, chairs out and coffee on and that kind of thing. And again, we're thinking we want to be, we're hoping that we can start with, you know, a few people, four, six, eight people. And yet there was over 50 people that came to that first Bible study. And that's the way it went over the next, well ever since to this point. And it fluctuates, of course, like anything does. But there's consistently 40 to 50 people on a Friday night Bible study, and then more for that on a Sunday morning. So anyway, we started Bible studies, and the plan was that we would have a year of Bible studies. We were thinking with four, six, eight people, and at the end of the year, we would be working towards starting services and starting a church. Well, people right away, they had moved away from their families and churches, and they were saying, we want to see a church started. Is there going to be a church? And so let me just move another picture here. So we said, God's doing something here. Let's start services. And so we started planning toward that, and we started services in our home. So we had Bible study in our homes, Sunday morning services in our home, and of course other Bible studies that were happening in other people's homes, one on one, one on two, throughout the week. And it was amazing to see what God was doing. People were responding. The church was growing. And this is one of the very first Bible studies there. You saw the picture with kids before in our kitchen, trying to keep the kids occupied. That was toward the very beginning. Later, we took them to another house next door and had the kids over there. But this is one of the couples that came in, Norman and Christiane. Christiane made a profession of faith as a teenager. Norman knew nothing of spiritual things. He was clueless spiritually and biblically. He had no idea whatsoever. And we just continued to share Christ. And he responded to that eventually as they were on their way to work. They were driving to work each morning. And he responded to the call of salvation in his life, gave his life to Christ. And they came back and they said, we want to get married as soon as possible. They were living together, a couple of kids. And they said, we recognize that we're living in sin. We want to get married. We want to get right and raise our family in the things of the Lord. This is just one story. I don't have time to tell them all. But this is one story of what God is doing in Nicaragua, and we're excited to be a part of that. So the church continued to grow, and people were saying there's no room. People aren't going to continue to come. We need to find more space. So we began praying about where God would lead for us to buy or build something, and we identified this specific property here is right in the center of the community, and we began praying toward that. Well, a couple weeks went by, and we heard some activity up there. And the Catholic Church has quite a presence in Nicaragua, and they had heard that we were interested in buying that property, so they were having an event that evening trying to raise money to buy that same property because it's right in the center of the community. And so we said, look, if God is going to provide, we have to trust him for that. We sent out letters and emails and communication, and within less than 3 weeks, we had the entire funds ready to buy that property. And we put up a tent, started meeting there right away. They've been meeting under that tent. Now, this is like 90, 95 degrees by 9:30 in the morning. And so, you know, setting up chairs, bringing out sound equipment eventually for, you know, guitars and whatever else and all that kind of stuff. Fans, big fans, industrial fans to try to keep the airflow going. But this is a normal thing. And then just as we were leaving Nicaragua back in August, we started a project of building a foundation. And so our entire family there with a supporting church that came down from Florida was part of that work. Yeah, even Isabella out there with her overalls and shovel. She's pretty proud of her overalls. And this is what we left. This is what it looks like now. And there's an organization that has agreed to come in, a mission organization that will come in into January, February of this coming year, and they will provide 75% of the materials, the cost of the materials, and they will build it. Block, window, doors, roof, the rest. There's no plumbing or anything like that, just a basic building. But this will leave a permanent footprint there in Vistas del Momotumbo, that community. I put a picture of me just to prove that I was working too. And so there will be a building there and be able to move out from the tent. There's a couple of tents there. One, there's another tent for the kids now, the large tent for the large meeting there. But we're excited about that. Well, God did bring that pastor, that national pastor, his name is Marco Perales with his wife Gabby, And we believe in a plurality of leadership. And so we've had a body of elders or pastors. And so Marco was part of this team. And the idea from the beginning was that we as the missionaries and North Americans would transition out, and there would be nationals to transition in. And so another family had moved into the community, a couple that we'd worked with for years, a part of another church, and he was looking to go as a pastor to another church. The door was closing there, and so we began praying about them coming, moving into our community, being a part of the church, and joining that body of elders. And so long story short, that's what happened with this other family over on this side, Osman and his wife Gabby. And so they have transitioned in. These are the two main leaders. There's still one other missionary there. He's on furlough now going back. But the idea all along is that this will be a Nicaraguan church, not a North American church, not a gringo church. It's a Nicaraguan church, Nicaraguan-led. And so we're happy about what the Lord has been doing there and blessed to see that happen. Well, one of the most difficult things that we did was to say goodbye. These are, again, people that we've seen come to know Christ and growing in the Lord. There's a lot more to do. This is a baby church, but the building blocks are in place. And so we were on furlough last year. We went back to Nicaragua knowing that it was going to be a time of transition at some point. We began looking around Nicaragua. Where do we go next? Because someone had given us the advice, it's better to leave too soon than to stay too long, so we don't create a church of dependence on the North American missionary. And so we began looking, where do we go next? And the doors just weren't opening. And we received a call from another couple, some friends of ours. Let me just mention real quick, this is a young couple, or young people, with a young couple over on this side, with a guy with a hat, that he was leading a missions trip, and they're praying about being sent out as missionaries. Let me just mention this real quick. There are currently no missionaries sent from Nicaragua to other countries in the world. You grasp that? No missionaries sent out from Nicaragua. In other words, when they hear the word missionary, they understand it as a North American who comes to my country and offers something. And so over the last few years, it's been part of our work to help move this process forward, that the Great Commission is in the Spanish Bible too. It's part of the Great Commission to every church, every believer. And so this young couple is responding to that call. And just about 3 weeks ago, they had a meeting with their church, and their church decided that they were going to, we were working through this whole process, months on end, and their church came to the point about 3 weeks ago that they were taking them on for 10% of their support as they finished their training and preparation. And their prayer is that one day they will join us on the mission field, whether that's still in Ecuador or if God has us somewhere else in Latin America, but that's the direction they're heading. So pray for, we call them Gato and Lorena. Who knows what Gato means? Just call it out. What is it? Cat. And so he's got light eyes, and of course this is a Latino with very light eyes, and so he's picked up the nickname Gato. Well, back to the story, I interrupted there just a little bit, but we received a call from Joe and Heidi Depew saying, hey, we're in Ecuador planting a church. What do you think about coming to join us? We need some help in this church plant. And so we began praying about that, talking with our home church and pastor and some other pastors. Is this the right time to transition? Can we leave the church as it is right now? Is it too soon? Should we do it? There's a lot that goes into it. Long story short, we believe that God was opening this door, and so we said our goodbyes to Nicaragua. We're making that transition. And so we've come back to the States now to work on, let me show you where Ecuador is. You can see the second arrow is just pointing at nothing there, but the red country there is where Ecuador is now. So going from Nicaragua and Central America to South America now, and we come back to the States in this preparation of moving toward Ecuador. And so some of our goals, I'm going to get to this in a minute. Some of our goals will be, one more slide, I think. No, that's it. Oh, here we go. We are transitioning from a mission that we were with, ABWE, to going through our home church. Now, why is that? Well, back to the missions thing with Gato and Lorena. They were saying, if we're sending out missionaries, what does this look like? How do you guys do it? We need to model something. And we realized, well, the way we're doing missions here cannot be reproduced in countries like Nicaragua. There's too much cost, too much overhead, too much manpower that goes into all these things that they're not set up to do, don't have the resources to do. And so when some of this conversation goes back at least a year, of saying, well, what do we need to do to be able to model that to a country like Nicaragua? And it, as we came back to it, whose responsibility is it to fulfill the Great Commission? It's not an agency or a mission, it's the church. God's plan and program today, we believe, is the church. Jesus said, even the gates of hell, that he will build his church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, this is not to say something bad about an agency or other organizations that have stepped up and fulfilled the needs in many places around the world. This is nothing bad against ABWE. We have great family, and literally family, and great friends there that we respect. But this was an attempt to help move a country who is not fulfilling the Great Commission globally to take that next step and be able to model that for them. And so we've gone from an agency to now going through our home church and partnering with a ministry called Servant Leaders, whose whole goal is to bring it back to that of equipping the church to build up its leadership and send them out, equip them to serve in the church and to perhaps to be sent out even as missionaries or pastors. And so that's where the kind of the role that we're on now. We want to give an opportunity to talk and answer questions, but we will be able to do that perhaps at the end of the service. We encourage you to come and talk with us. But I want to just close with a thought from the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, a very familiar passage, go to the book of Acts in chapter 1. As you're turning there, I'm just going to mention that we have pictures of our family on the back table right behind the sound booth on the other side of the wall. And we encourage you to take a picture. And it has our email, website, that kind of thing. You can find us on Facebook. We send out regular updates through email. So if you'd like to sign up for that, go to our website and you can sign up, or you can email us and say, hey, can you add me to the list? And you can find out all that information on the prayer cards back there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a very familiar passage that maybe many of you have memorized. This Jesus' global plan, God's global plan, and you see it right here in the Great Commission as Luke spells it out in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let me just open up with you a little bit. This has been a very difficult time for us being back in the States, not because of the transition from Nicaragua to Ecuador, or, you know, working on visas, or because of any admission stuff. If I can be open and honest with you, the most difficult part is we watched my mom pass away, and she died just 3 weeks ago. And many of you, I'm sure, have lost loved ones, and perhaps even now are have close ones dealing with health issues, and maybe the end is near. I don't know. My mom was a believer, and she's now with the Lord, and we have our hope and peace in that. But as you watch a loved one go through that, you ever ask yourself, why? Why do we have to face this suffering and this pain and death? And I remember hearing from a pastor several years ago, he said, the only reason we're not already in hell is because of God's Great Commission. Sorry, I'm mixing this up. The only reason we're not already in hell is because of God's great grace. It's because of God's great grace, giving us something we don't deserve. The only reason we're not already in heaven is because of God's Great Commission. The only reason we're not already in hell is because of God's great grace. The only reason we're not already in heaven is because of God's Great Commission. See, he has a purpose for us. First of all, he has a call to salvation, right? And so those who have responded to that call of salvation and are a child of God now have a purpose, and that's to fulfill the Great Commission. This is not just for us as missionaries. It's not just for those who are pastors to fulfill the Great Commission. His call to fulfill the Great Commission is to every believer. It's for every believer. And this is true from the very beginning of time, that he would send out his people to make his name great in all the earth. You know, wait a minute, what about back in the garden? Adam and Eve, that was their commission too? What are you talking about? Do you remember the first command given to mankind, to Adam and Eve? Do you remember what it was? It was be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What's the purpose for that? To make his name great. to spread out through all the earth and make his name great. Of course, they didn't that didn't happen with them right then, right? There was sin. Sin came into the world. They were driven out of the garden. Sin increased to the time of Noah. When you get to the later chapters there in Genesis, when you get to Genesis chapter 9, the flood happens, and they're coming off the ark. Noah and his family are coming off the ark, and the same command is given to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God wanted to make his name great everywhere through his people. Well, after the days of Noah, then you have the people are continuing to increase, and there's quite a large population. They say, well, let's just stay right here, and we're going to build this tower, and we're going to be only dependent on ourselves. There'll be nothing to stop us. We will even be like gods, perhaps. So they build this tower, and what does God say? He comes down and says that man has forgotten me again. So he confuses their language, and it says that he dispersed them over the entire earth. See, God was driving out his people. Those who still believed in him had the commission then to make his name great. You get to the New Testament, and you come to the book of Acts here. You have the Great Commission there in Matthew 28 and Acts. We read it again. They would receive his power, and they would go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? The ends of the earth, right? Last thing, over in Acts chapter 8, the church was started in Acts 2. After Peter preaches there, many are being added to the church, and even comes to saying that the church is multiplying. I love that. In the book of Acts, you see this transition going from addition to multiplication. And in Acts chapter 8, after the murder and martyring of Stephen, one of the first deacons, you come to Acts 8, and it says, and Saul approved of Stephen's execution. Verse 1 still, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of where? Judea and Samaria. See, they're beginning to move out. This time because of persecution. I believe God's plan was to scatter his people and make his name great. You know, there are many who have responded to that call over the years, for a couple thousand years, that have gone out, beginning with Paul and those first believers. You have great stories of guys like Jim Elliot and some of the heroes of the missionary world. You have missionaries today that have answered that call. We believe that God was calling us several years ago, and we said, if God's leading us to Nicaragua and now Ecuador, we want to be obedient to that call. But you know, we hear often, well, I could never do that. God bless you. You know, you guys go do that. I could never do that. Can I just ask why? Why do we just throw that out? We just say, I could never do that. Well, what is the Great Commission? When you go back to Matthew's version of the Great Commission, it says, go into all the world, right, and make disciples, teaching and baptizing. And literally, it means as you are going, make disciples. So it may not be, well, going to Ecuador or Nicaragua or Africa or China, it may be while you are in New York State, whatever job, school, taking care of kids, family, whatever it might be, in your neighborhood, whatever you're doing, the focus is making disciples. Making disciples. And there's not an age limit on that. It doesn't say, well, once you're qualified and you're this age and so. No, it says whatever you're doing, make disciples. If you're a follower, make disciples. Can I encourage you in that? As you pray for us making this transition, as you pray for other missionaries that you support and have a relationship with, can I challenge you? Who are you discipling? God has scattered you here to Western New York. Is this still Western New York? He scattered you here to New York State for this time to be a part of this community and this church. And your call is still to make disciples and fulfill the Great Commission. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to worship together in song and to be able to enjoy some of the Christmas season, celebrating God becoming flesh, dwelling among us. Lord, I know that you are working here, and perhaps you have been working in specific people's lives about what their role is, what your purpose is for them. Lord, if you could take just these few words and these few minutes this morning to urge them to come and perhaps talk to their pastor, talk to someone who in charge of a ministry here, say, hey, I need to step up and respond to God's call in my life, starting right here in SOTUS, New York. Lord, I pray that you would raise up an army out of this church going out, beginning from here and around the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples. Lord, we thank you for that. We commit these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.